We're in the middle of an in-depth study on love, and today's message is number 17 in that series, and it's entitled, Love, a More Excellent Way. Let's get us started with a little prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come before your throne this morning. We thank you, Father, for your heart that is always open. The doors of your heart are always open to receive your people. We know, Father, that it brings great joy when your people come before your throne. We're so thankful for those that are joining us live right now, those that will receive this study in the future years to come through our internet page and again through Facebook. We're so thankful for them, Lord. And right where they are, right now in this now moment, wherever they are, we ask you to bless them. We ask you to give us all ears to hear, a sensitive heart to your word, and we thank you for it, Father. We know that we'll never be the same again. We know that every time that we encounter you and we encounter your word, we're never the same. We're always, always changed by your living word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, the title today is Love in a More Excellent Way. For the most part, I'll be using the Amplified Classic Bible. And if you don't have one, it's small print, but there's one in front of you there. You can follow along in your own version if you'd like, and there's some King James there as well. But we normally will use the Amplified Classic, except for a couple places today. If we get that far, we'll use the New King James. Let's start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. And as I said, the title of our message is Love a More Excellent Way, and that's what this scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the higher gifts, the more and the choicest graces. And yet I will show you still a more excellent way, one that is better by far, the highest of them all, and that's love. Love is the more excellent way. It says to earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts. He's specifically talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He's the fruit of the Spirit. He says to desire and zealously cultivate. What do you do when you cultivate something? You know, you hoe it, don't you? You get the weeds out. You take care of that plant. If you ever had a garden or a flower garden, or your wife maybe, or somebody you know, your mom or dad, at one time or another in your life, you've encountered a little bit of gardening. If you don't cultivate, weeds grow up and overtake the plant that you so desire to come to fruitfulness, whether it be a flower or whatever. You know, our own lives are that way. If we don't cultivate, if we don't take care of our walk with God and our life, if we don't do something with it, then the weeds that are around us overtake us. You know, we wind up being angry, fearful, full of worry, and depressed, and all these things, when the Word of God will deal with those things for us, but we've got to cultivate the weeds out. We have to make a quality decision that we want to walk right with God in every area of our lives. And that's up to us to do it. God will do the work, but we do the yielding and the submitting to it. So here it says to earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the gifts. But he's telling us also there's a better way. There's a more excellent way. When I say there's more excellent, what am I talking about? I'm talking about something that is by far better than these gifts I'm seeking or these things that I'm seeking. There's something that is higher and stronger and more excellent than what I am trying to cultivate here in these. Love is a more excellent way. And as we mentioned in our previous studies, like I said, this is message 17, but throughout our previous studies, we've talked about love being the source, because God is love. That's who he is. He is love in person. He's the person love. He's the only one that exists that can qualify for being the person love. That's who he is. God is love. It says in 1 John 5:14 through 18, God is love. That's who he is. So it stands to reason, if God is love, then everything he does is love. But it also says in 1 John 5:18, that as he is, so are we in this world. We're the same as he is. Once we get born again, we are creatures of love. We're born of love, therefore we are love. We may not be walking in love. We may not even know about it. We may not understand what it means to walk in love. But as far as our actual person, our real spirit man, we're born of love. So we're required to love by God because we are love. Yes, sir.
I've always been a believer, but a little over a year ago, I got baptized and saved all the same day.
Oh, praise God.
It made a difference. I even prayed for some people I hated.
Yes, it does. That's saved. What happens when you get born again. Love enters in.
It made a big difference.
Yes, it does.
I thank Jesus every day.
If we could tell people that, if we could actually share that and cause them to come into an understanding that things are going to be different.
Yeah.
They're not. You're not going to be the same. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, love has come in. Love abides in you. You may not be loving. You may not understand how, but love is there. There's a change that happened. My own personal experience was I used to be very angry. I got born again in 1981, but I had a lot of abuse in my life, a lot of troubles, a lot of various kinds of abuse as a child and up. So I became a kind of an angry person. Plus, I had some things that happened to me that caused me to be off-center in my own, I won't go into the details, but in my own thinking patterns, they were off-center because of what happened to me in my own personal testimony. But once I got born again and saved, there was a drastic difference in me. I was no longer angry. I was walking in peace in my life. That don't happen to everybody that way. Some is more intense. Others, it's kind of a gradual thing. But myself, there was a definite 180-degree change in my attitude and what I was thinking and how I was behaving. And my wife, I was married at that time, and she was used to me being upset all the time. Well, about 3 days later, I didn't tell her I got saved. It was a big old convention. I didn't tell her that I got saved. I just did, you know. But anyways, she asked me the question. She said, "Did you get saved the other day?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "I thought so. You're not angry anymore." There was a peace that came in that God brought into my life. There was a peace and a rest that came in. And that's what happened. So we can sometimes, like I say, the change has to take place over a process of time. But as our brother James mentioned, you know, there was a change in his life. There was a definite rest or a peace that came in. And that's what happens. But then when that happens, we got to carry forward with that. We got to get into the Word. We got to put ourselves into the Bible, get into a good church, get into fellowship with someone where we can share that love one for another.
Amen.
But so here it says to earnestly and desire and zealously cultivate. So we got to cultivate our love walk.
Yes.
In the same way we cultivate, you know, the gifts and desire for those. If love is a more excellent way, what should I be focusing myself on? If love is a more excellent way, and God is love, and everything he does is love, and I am born of love, what should I be studying? What should I be zealously desiring and cultivating in my life? It should be love.
Amen.
I should want to know what real, genuine, God-centered love is. There's so much more to love than just a good feeling. Matter of fact, that's a carnal feeling. As we get further into this study, we're going to look at the difference between human love and God's love. We're going to look at the two, and then where we fit in that. And it will give us an opportunity in our own lives to look at ourselves and say, okay, this needs to be corrected. You know, if you ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you fall short, he will.
He will.
And he won't do it to condemn you. You may condemn yourself, and you shouldn't. If God is showing you some place that you're falling short on, it's because he's got a way to deliver you from that.
Amen.
He's got a way to strengthen you and raise you up, and that is his desire. God is not holding anything back from his people. But we have to position ourselves and put ourselves in that place where he can give to us. He will not force himself on anyone. He will offer opportunities. And to be honest with you, if you're born again or not, you really do know what's wrong. Sometimes we just don't want to face it, but we honestly do. If we ever want real change in our lives, we got to get real with ourselves. And we got to get real with God. We got to say, God, this is what I'm sensing and feeling. Please help me here. Show me what I need to change. And He will help you change that. He will put people around you that will help you with that. He'll bring the messages of His Word to you. He'll bring family and friends and circumstances that will help you make decisions that will cause you to start walking away from those things that have hindered you maybe all of your life. I had some things up to that point that hindered me, like I told you, all of my life because of what happened to me. You start blaming people, but honestly, the people were involved, but it was really the devil moving on those people that caused them to be the way they were. They didn't know. They're just behaving like they're supposed to behave because they're not God's children. But it's abnormal for the Christian not to walk in love. It's abnormal. But it's normal for somebody that does not know Him as their Lord and Savior. It's normal for them to behave that way. It's hard not to. But if you're born again, then like our brother James said, there was a change in his life. There was a change in my life. Well, that change comes in, and now we've got the presence of the living God inside of us teaching us how to change. But we have to yield to Him. He never condemns us, but He will always point out where we need to change. And He'll take it a step at a time. Because He knows that one place that we need to change that will affect other areas that will automatically change them. You know, sometimes when you're doing something, if you change one thing or fix one thing, it fixes other things that you don't have to deal with anymore because this one thing was the root of that. And when you fix this, it fixes that. Love is that way. When you make a quality decision to walk in love and find out what love is, find out what God says love is, and you yield yourself to that, then you'll find other things changing. Other things will be changing as you go. And you'll avoid a lot of problems and circumstances. My problem growing up was, well, a lot of problems, but it presented itself, it manifested itself in anger more than any other place. And I let people know I was angry. You know, you can't be angry and people not know it. You know, so I was angry the majority of the time. And when that happens, you know, it affects everything that you do. You're mad at the world, mad, you blame everybody, but you don't change anything to change that. It's got to be other people. It can't be me. That's the attitude. But it was me. See, I could look at those circumstances through different eyes once I got born again. I can see things through a more compassionate and a more kind way, understanding I was there one time. I was doing that myself, but now I don't. I don't desire to do that. So I can see them through different eyes, and that makes a difference in how I respond to what's going on around me. Yes, James?
You know, since I got saved, I've had things stole from me, and bikes and jewelry and different things, people I've fed and helped, but it doesn't upset me as bad as
exactly
it used to. But I'll be 84 December 11th, and the worst thing in my life is my family all gone, you know, my loved ones. But every time something bad happens, something good happens. You know, I've had a family that's real religious, that's, I guess they're middle age, and they've really been nice to me. They took me to their church a couple of times and took me to their home. And took me out to eat, and they even called me. They was going to take me to church the day. I told them, I said, well, I've got somebody else taking me.
No, I can choose.
But, you know, it's just, they're really nice people, and they are really happy to have them in my life.
Amen. Amen. It's awesome how God will do that.
Yeah.
If I start stepping towards Him, things start changing around me.
Well, like Steve told me, you know, something bad happens if something good happens afterwards, too.
It does. It does. Depending on how you respond to that bad thing. Because we open the door and allow God to move or not move, you know.
There's a lot of good people in this world.
Oh, there
There's
is.
A lot of mean ones, just, bad just, ones, because I've had that to happen to me.
If you just look around. It's interesting how the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12:31, one that is better by far and highest of them all. So if I am practicing love, everything else that's related to that, which everything is, starts falling into place. Depression starts leaving. Fear starts leaving. I'll still have to address it. I'll still have to make a decision at that moment because I have a pattern way of behavior now. I have, now I'm 70, you're 84. Well, we've had over
the... I may only look 50, but I'm 84.
You're 84. But anyways, all of us are over 20. So we've all had we've all had some instances in our life where we form pattern behavior. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't take anything, really no effort at all to sin or get mad, does it? But you have to...
There you go.
But you have to walk in love. It takes effort to walk in love. It takes a decision to do that. It takes a decision. And it takes someone that's strong to walk in love. It takes someone that's weak to fall off into anger. It does not take much to get angry because it's pattern behavior. Well, we need to get to the place where love is our pattern behavior.
Yeah.
Because as we do that, we see anger for what it really is. We see depression for what it really is. We see these things that happen around us for what they really are. And they're not of God. They're meant to draw you away from. So if we start forming a pattern behavior of walking in love, it deals with those other things. We'll still have to make a decision. But the more we do it, it's like anything else. The more we walk in love, the easier it is. Because it becomes the pattern of life now. So it is a more excellent way. And then 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. And it's still the same thought. That chapter division should have never been placed there because it's still the same thought. He's not changed what he's saying. This is still related to what we previously said. So I'll read 12:31, go right to 13:1. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the highest gifts and the choicest graces. Yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far and the highest of them all, love. If I can speak in tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. The only way to really gain is to walk in love. So all these things that are mentioned there can be good. You can give to the poor. You can do all these things. But if you don't have love, it only profits you to some degree. But you really profit nothing in the kingdom unless you walk in love. But someone that has nothing but walks in love, he's the richest person around.
Amen.
He's by far richer than the richest person because the person that has very little and walks in love, God's taking care of that person.
Amen.
There's a joy in their heart. There's a rest in their heart. There's a presence that's not with that guy that has a lot of money and doesn't have God. He spends his time worried somebody's going to take it. He spends his time being greedy and grabby and deceitful. And he's never at real rest. Now, there are people that are wealthy because God made them wealthy. And they walk with God. And they're ministers of that wealth. They're ones that God uses as givers in the kingdom to help people. and to supply the needs of ministry, that God sovereignly raised him up because they're walking in love. Now that's a real wealth. When you walk in love and you have the money at the same time, and God's showing you, you cannot outgive God. If you walk with him and you lay your life down and surrender your heart to him, he's going to take care of you. But it'll be in a way probably that you're not aware of or planning for. He likes to do the unexpected. You know, so you expect him to manifest, but you don't know how. You just know he will. So this is awesome word. I need to look at my life and ask myself why I do what I do. As we're going to get into a study in the future, I'll make this statement and we'll tear it apart in the future sometime, which I've said this before. God's love is others-centered. If I'm walking in God's love, when I look at my motive for doing something, I'm doing it to benefit others. I'm more interested in somebody else and in how they grow and how they prosper and in their life. I'm more interested in them, even if they're coming against me. If they see themselves as my enemy, I'm still going to love them, because that's what the Word says to do. You love your enemies. You bless them and do not curse them. That's what the Word says. So if I'm going to walk in love, I'm going to have to do that. It may take some effort on my part, but I'm going to have to love that person that comes against me. That means I can't strike back. I can't do that. Not if I'm going to walk in love. I have to do what the Word says to do. I can love that person right into the kingdom. You know, there's a testimony of a guy that was in prison, and he was an old man. He was in the infirmary, and he was pretty bad shape, and he'd been there most of his life in this prison. And there was another guy in prison for a long time, but he found Jesus in prison. There was a big revival in prison, you know, and he found Jesus in prison, and he wanted to be assigned to the infirmary to help people. So he was assigned to this infirmary, or the hospital part of the prison. And this old man was in there, and he had a habit. If you got close to him, he had a cane, and he'd hit you with the cane. He'd do that every single time. He hit the guy with the cane. So nobody wanted to deal with this old man. But this guy did. He took a special joy in ministering to that old man. And he kept doing that. And one time the old man said, "You keep coming back for more. Why?" And he said, "Because I love you. I'm loving you with the love of Jesus." And that old man got saved. Love put that old man in the position where he gave his heart to the Lord. Now he got hit. This other guy got hit until the guy realized there's something different about this guy. You know, when you're walking in love, there's something different about you.
Amen.
Some like it, some don't. But you're the one that's making the difference, even in the lives of the ones that don't like it. You're making a difference, even if it doesn't appear to be. You're making a difference. Now, love meets all the requirements of heaven, answered prayer, and the harvest. It meets all the requirements. It meets every single requirement of the Ten Commandments. When you walk in love, you're walking the Ten Commandments. That's what the Ten Commandments are. They're all love-based. The pre-cross, before Jesus, that's all they had was the Ten Commandments, and it was a law. They had to walk that. But they walked it without the Holy Spirit inside. After the cross, and you get born again, Jesus comes in. Now, our one commandment is, we got two, which we'll read it in a minute, to love God and to love our neighbor. And when we do that, the Word says, which we'll see that in these scriptures, we fulfill all of the law, everything the prophets ever said, and we fulfill all of the commandments when we walk in love, because they're all love-based. So let's read that. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. We've read this quite a bit in previous messages, and we're going to read it again in future messages, because it's a foundation and a root for what we're talking about. This is Jesus talking, and he replied to them. Matthew 22, verse 37. And he replied to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, intellect. This is the great, most important, and principal and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. These two commandments sum up, and upon them depend all the law and the prophets. So if we want to know the root of everything, it's love. Because as I said when I started, God is love. So if He is love, and we're born of love, then love is the source. Love is the source of all creation, no matter what it is. And everything is governed by the law of love. Everything is governed by that. Even if we're not walking in love, the governing judgment is our walking in love or not walking in love. That's the judgment. That's what really judges us. And that's what we're answerable for. That's what we're ultimately answerable for in this life and when we die. Our judgment is based on our love walk. That's what it is. That's what all the Word is, a manual on love. That's what it is. So here we see it is, and also said with, Jesus said, with all your heart, that's your spirit man, with all your soul, that's your mind, emotions, and will, and with all of your intellect, all of your mind, all of your thoughts. I can't do that. But you can. And you've heard me say this before. You haven't, some of you that are new here. But you can do that in your now moment. That's the only place you really can do it. You're not alive in your past, and you're not alive in your future. You're only alive in this moment. This is the moment you're responsible for. If you concentrate on walking in love in your now moment, then you'll be successful in your next moment. But if you base your love walk on what you did, you'll never succeed. You'll never make it. You cannot concentrate on what you did and walk in love at the same time. That's the enemy's tactic. He will keep pointing out what you did or didn't do. And that's not what your love walk's based on. You can't do anything about that. I got a fossil on my desk to remind me that my past is in the rock of time. I can't change it. No matter how good or bad it is, I cannot change my past. It's there. It's written. But the blood has been shed.
Amen.
To wash that away.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Exactly. That's the only one that can. When I got born again, my old man died. Well, I've sinned since then. Well, I have too. And so has everybody else. That's why God built a safety valve in 1 John 1:9. If you come and confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness if I confess my sins. It's built in. He wants us washed. He wants us clean. He wants us to walk in love. So He built that in, that when we make that mistake after we're born again, in our now moment, I can come to Him and confess that and receive His forgiveness and cleansing. And I step away from there completely clean with nothing on me anymore from that. My mind keeps reminding me of it, but I can go to that moment and say it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on January 20th, I brought that to the Lord. Now, enemy, if you've got a problem with that, you go to God and talk to Him about it. But He cleansed me. That's what His Word says. And one thing I come to point in my life that I decided, God's Word's true. And it is. Whether I make it true or not, it is true. It's absolute truth. So He said it, I can take it to the bank. So here we see, I've got to love Him with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my mind, and I can do that in my now. And we see that it's the most important, it's the principle and first commandment. So the commandment that God gave is to love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. That's the number one. So if I'm having issues in life, I got to ask myself that question, am I? What happens if I do that? If I'm loving God with all of my heart and my spirit, all of my soul, and all of my mind, I want to to do things His way.
Amen.
I will start being aware of the love that He loved me with. When we want to look at God's love, we can go to that cross anytime and see that blood that was shed because of me. Make it personal. Make it personal when you see that cross. He died on that cross for me.
And me.
And you. And the whole world, past, present, and future. When you start making it personal, things start happening in your life. You start realizing some things. Yes, I went through all of this. Yes, I've had a world of hurt in my life. I make bad decisions every moment of my life. But now I know the difference. Now I know the love of God. Now I know what He's done in my life. Now I know that I can walk right with God in my now. And then when I do that, I step over into my next now and do it all over again. And when you look back, it's like, you know, if I stand in this one spot and not move my feet, I'm not going nowhere. I may want to go, and I may think I'm going, but what am I doing? I'm not going nowhere. And you know, it takes one foot to go here before the other one can move. And what happens? I use this all the time. When you take a step, what happens to your heel? That other one's already in motion. And that's the way it is in your now moment. When you take a step in your now, the next moment is already being prepared. And if you do right in this moment, then the next one's already prepared for you when you finish that step. That's what walking in love is. That's why the Bible calls it to walk in love. That's why we call it the love walk. Because it's a step at a time. It's a decision at a time. It's a moment at a time. And when you look back, if you're actually moving and walking in love, you can see a whole path of the mercy of God behind you. You can see how His mercy and grace was there. And like James said, when something bad happens, there's always something good happens. Well, that's what's happening because you're walking in love. You're walking in the grace of God. And something's already prepared for you. You went through that, but there's something prepared for you that will make a difference. So this is very important. Galatians 5:14. Now this one will be the New King James. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now he focused on the law because that's what the law focused on. But Jesus focused on both. Loving the Father and loving your neighbor. But Paul is saying in Galatians 5:14 that when you love your neighbor, you fulfilled all your responsibilities to those around you. And let you in on a little secret. You can't do that without loving God first.
Yeah.
If you do not love God first, the way Jesus said to you, you're going to have a mighty hard time loving your neighbor. Because you're carnally minded, you're fleshly minded. And you're going to fail. But if you're spiritually minded, walking in love, and that's the way you're training yourself to think, then you'll be able to walk that walk out and love your neighbor. Because this is a spiritual love, not a natural love. And we'll talk about that in future lessons. Then in Romans 13, verse 10, you notice these three sections of scriptures are saying just basically the same thing about love. Romans 13, verse 10, New King James again. It starts out with money because, why? Because that's where most people have their love set. It's sad to say, in one way or another, whether you have money or not, a lot of people love it. Their whole life is set around money. Yet, it's involved in things we do, but don't love it. Use it, but don't love it. Set your love upon the Father. You know, so that's why even back then had the same issue. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Verse 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, all are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 10 in the Amplified Classic says, love does no wrong to one's neighbor. It never hurts anybody. Therefore, love meets all the requirements and is the fulfilling of the law. So we see all of three of these are saying the same thing that we've been talking about this morning. Love fulfills all of the law, fulfills all of it, and love never does harm to anyone. And if I do, I got to treat it as a sin, and I go to my Father and I confess it. And then I go to the person I hurt. Whether they believe me or not doesn't matter. It's what I do. It's not how they receive it. It's what I do. Because you got to break that bondage. There's a strife there between the two. You got to break it. And when you break it off yourself, there's no connection for the other person. He runs out of fuel and ammunition because you're not answering him back. So you break that, and that allow, and then you start praying for the person, and God can start moving in their life. Because you don't want them walking around in that. You had your own share in that mess, haven't you? You don't want the other person to walk in that, no matter who they are. So, and I'm sure everybody can think of something that they've done to hurt somebody. Well, tell the Lord about it. Ask His forgiveness. And then see if there's anything you should do about it. And let Him tell you. He'll even set up the circumstance. But there is a difference between believing with the mind and believing with the heart. And there's a difference between loving with the mind and loving with the heart. There's a difference between your heart and your mind. When you believe with the mind, the person must have some kind of physical evidence. When you're believing something, there's something you're focusing on, right? There's something there that's tangible that you're believing for or that you're believing. When you believe with the heart, not the mind, what you are believing bypasses your mind. No physical evidence is required. You are believing with your spirit man. God's living word is all the evidence you need. So what's the difference between the two? Human love or faith. Human faith, human love requires evidence. We got to see a change. We got to see something coming to pass. That's mental. Okay, that's carnal. That's fleshly. That's worldly. That's being carnally minded. Being spiritually minded is you're still believing. But when you believe with the heart, no evidence is required. You can't see it. Real faith, you can't see it. You can't taste it. You can't touch it. It's not evident in front of you. Love is the same way. Sometimes you can't see the result of that love. You're putting your faith and you're putting your love out there without anything tangible happening. You're doing it because you simply love. Whether anything changes or not that you can see, you know it is changing. And if nothing else is changing, you are. You cannot walk in love and not grow spiritually. You cannot walk in love and not draw closer to God. In verse 10 there of Romans chapter 13 and the others, every one of them says, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love fulfills the law. Love your neighbor, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So what's your limit when you love your neighbor? Yourself. That's the only limit you have where love is concerned. If you do not love yourself, and I had somebody recently tell me this, and he's told me this before, and I've told him it. For. But after all many, 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 many years, 20 plus or more, it finally dawned on him a couple weeks ago. He said the reason he was having so much trouble is because he didn't love himself. He didn't love himself. He had failed so many times. He had stuck so far back in his past, it was as if his past was alive right now. So he couldn't love himself. So therefore, he couldn't move from there. When you take yourself, and I told him years ago, we were talking, and he said, he laid off a long thing about, anytime he starts talking, you're going to go through the whole thing. And because it's so strong in him. And we try to let him talk it because he has to, okay? But he's living it again when he does. So we had had lunch together, or breakfast actually, and he come out, and he went through all of this, and then he said, I lost my trust in man, I lost my trust in God, and he kept talking, stopped talking. He said, Mike, is that where I missed it? That's where you missed it. That's where you missed it. Because I told him, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit at the time. I said, I put my hands like this, and I said, you're going to have to take that. That hurt. You're going to have to present it to the Father and say, I trust you, Lord. Voice it. I trust you, Lord. And then you let it go. He finally did that. He finally did that. And he told me the other day, I now love myself. But it took time for God to reveal it to him. Even though we're told sometimes things, and we can see things, and God will put people in our lives to help us with those things, sometimes we have to come to face it and say, look, I know I failed. But I'm not going to condemn myself. You don't condemn me, Lord, so I'm not going to condemn me. And I trust you. One thing about trust. Trust has to be granted. It can never be earned. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'll trust them when they do this or that? Or have you had somebody tell you that? Well, I trust you when you do this. Mm-hmm. Well, you do that. And you come to them and say, well, I don't think I trust you yet. What happened there? They didn't grant the trust. Trust has to be granted. It can never be earned. You can do everything they want and go beyond that, and they still have to grant it to you. It's the same way with God. When you don't love yourself and you're holding everything, somewhere along your lifeline, you're going to have to bring that to God and say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you. And then let it go.
Amen.
Whatever it is, that's a big step towards setting your love upon God. He will never fail you. He will not do that. I didn't get where I needed to be, but the focus is set your love upon the Father and love your neighbor as yourself. It's a more excellent way. It's more excellent than struggling through depression, fear, and worry, and anger, and all those things that hold us down as a weight. We need to shed those, but we can't unless we let Him do it.
Amen.
And that means yielding to it. Father, we thank you for this word today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for teaching us, Lord. Thank you for revealing these truths to us. And when we face those obstacles in the future and past, present, or whatever hinders us the most, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing these truths back to our mind and heart and to show us. And thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you will show a manifestation of your word in our lives, revealing yourself to us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.